Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Day two of the Hassan Hour. The mix of Send It In and Bet Slips and Bat Flips. I am your host, Jake Hassan, on Twitter at @Jake_Hassan. We are here for the next hour. Send it in right now for the first 30 minutes, the first half of the hour. And send in your questions, your comments, your bets. Get into the chats on Twitch, on YouTube, on Twitter, at the BetMGM Network, across all of those platforms, and send in anything you got today, and we will get to it throughout the course of the hour. And we appreciate you jumping in to all of those chats. And if you miss anything during the live show, if you miss the live show as a whole, which I'll be a little mad at you for, but it's okay, we'll get over it. Love you anyway. You can find Send It In and Bet Slips and Bat Flips wherever you get your podcasts, wherever that may be, Apple, Spotify, if people still use Google, I don't know. But wherever you get your podcasts, you can find Send It In, Bet Slips and Bat Flips, and every show on the BetMGM Network, whether that be The Daily Tip, Bet Sweats, You Better You Bet, and BetMGM Tonight. But for right now, we are here during the Hassan Hour on Send It In, and we talk about Glass being in session. And we'll first recap yesterday. I was wrong about the Warriors, huh? That could not have gone any worse. Basically right away, too. And it's honestly kind of nice, though, because you just know right from the jump that you're dead. Like, it's just coffin immediately, which is really, really nice. And you don't have to worry about, all right, well, I got to convince myself that they can do this for the next 2 hours, 2.5 hours. No, you just lose right off the bat. So that's really nice. At least the Warriors kind of put us to bed really early. And that one, Timberwolves, though, they come through. Not only do they cover the number and cover the 6.5, which we talked about with Chase Kitty of BetMGM at the start of yesterday's show, they win outright and they eliminate the Los Angeles Lakers from the NBA playoffs. So they move on to the next round. They await to see who they will play, and we will talk about that in just a little bit. But we have some baseball that is starting right now. So not to break in to Send It In with a little bit of Bet Slips and Bat Flips right off the bat, but we hardly get to do this on Bet Slips and Bat Flips, where there's games starting right away, and or we miss these games that start at about 1 o'clock Eastern. So one game that is already in progress, it is Cubs and Pirates. Happy Paul Skenes Day to all that observe. He is on the bump going against the Chicago Cubs in Pittsburgh. Colin Rea starting for the Cubs in that one. And the Pirates out to an early lead. Brian Reynolds hits a home run off of Rea to give the Pirates the early lead. And this is kind of unstoppable forces meeting with Paul Skenes and the Cubs lineup going against each other, against two very movable objects and each other's bullpens of the Pirates and the Cubs. So there were no bets for me in this one, just because Skenes, he's your Cy Young favorite. He's been awesome, obviously, to start the year. That's why he's your favorite. I didn't really want to go against him. I was a little tempted by the Cubs on the money line, but with Colin Rea and his peripherals just indicate that there's going to be some regression coming for him. So stayed away from that game. If Skeens looks vulnerable at any point, obviously that helps our Cy Young contending guys. Michael King, who pitched really well again yesterday, Logan Webb, Christopher Sanchez is back, who we talked about, but we'll get into all of that in the back half of the hour, all of the awards and futures that you need to know. Another game that is happening right now, that is Cardinals and Reds. Reds, your favorite here, minus 115, Cardinals minus 105, Andrew Abbott and Matthew Liberatore in that one. I took the Cardinals on the money line just because a couple of their guys like Nolan Arenado and Wilson Contreras have good history against Abbott, and he wasn't great in his last start. So I took the Cardinals on the money line here, bet it this morning at about even money. Matthew Liberatore has been pretty good so far this year. So we'll monitor that one. I don't think there's anything to do with 0-0 in the middle of the second in that one. But some games that are about to start in about 5 minutes here that I do have some bets in that we can talk about, and we can sweat these throughout the rest of the hour as we go along here. Diamondbacks and Mets in New York. Mets minus 170, your favorite. Totals at 8 with Kodai Senga going for the Mets against Zach Gallen. And I wanted to bet Senga. He has really good history against this Diamondbacks lineup, but that was a couple of years ago. So I just faded Zach Gallen. I went Mets team total over 4.5. That's a plus money. Gallen's been terrible so far this year, allowing a ton of home runs, allowing a ton of hard contact. His ERA is above 5.5. And guys like Pete Alonso, MVP candidate, and Francisco Lindor, also MVP candidate, both have really good history against Gallen. And this Mets team is playing really, really well, you know, despite the collapse last night against the Diamondbacks. But I like the Mets to bounce back today. Team total over 4.5. Couple other games that we got to get you ready for that start in just about 5 minutes here. Royals and Rays. Rays minus 170. Total is at 8.5. And Seth Lugo going against Shane Baz. Do have a bet in this one. Give me the Royals. I'm going to run back something we did yesterday. Royals under 0.5 run in the first three. This worked out with Michael King going against the Giants yesterday. Going to run it back with Shane Baz going against the Royals today. Baz has been excellent for Tampa Bay, a 2.45 ERA, but the Royals, this is more about them to me. They've scored more than 3 runs in a full game just once since April 14th, if you throw out their series against the Rockies. And Baz has been very, very good. So give me the Royals under 0.5 run at plus money in the first 3 innings here. I'm going to back Shane Baz. And to close it out here before we get to our guest in just a second, Twins and Guardians totals at 9. This is a pick-a minus 110 each way. Simeon Woods-Richardson for the Twins. Ben Lively, you know, Blake's brother, going for the Guardians. I have a home run bet in this one. Give me Kyle Manzardo to hit a home run for the Guardians. 2-for-2 with a home run in his career versus Simeon Woods-Richardson. Woods-Richardson has given up a home run in each of his last 4 starts as well. Manzardo, 4 home runs in his last 10 games, an elite barrel rate as well. So give me Kyle Manzardo to close it out. And now that closes out the games that are about to start for baseball. We'll get to baseball in the second half of the hour. But for now, we go to the Glasser guest line, and you may have heard there's a pretty big event happening this weekend that we got to get you ready for. The Kentucky Derby runs once again coming up on Saturday. So Dan Illman joins the show. He is on the Glasser guest line. We welcome in him, the director of communications for the Maryland Jockey Club. Follow Dan on Twitter at @DanIllman_MJC. Dan, appreciate you coming on the show today. Talk some horses.
Thanks for having me. Really looking forward to the Kentucky Derby, as I am every single year. But of course, working for the Maryland Jockey Club, I can't wait for the Preakness in 2 weeks.
Of course. And maybe we'll get a thought on that before we let you go. But of course, the Derby to start. And we have a pretty big favorite here. And a lot of people want to bet the favorite in this year's race. And that, of course, is Journalism, the number 8 horse coming out of up 4-1 here. Just before we get into any bets that we want to make, but just tell us and tell the audience here on the BetMGM network a little bit about Journalism and why people want to bet this horse so much.
Well, he's just simply the most naturally talented horse in the race. When you watch him run, his stride, he just seems like a cut above. When you look at his speed figures, only 2 horses in the 21 horse Derby, there's one on the also eligible list, to burn speed figures of 100 or greater more than once. One of them is journalism. The other one is Rodriguez, a horse that journalism handled pretty easily earlier this year. He just has the right motion for the Derby, the right tactical speed. He's going to get a setup. He seems to be working really well at Churchill Downs. Just a lot of things to like, except the price. You're going to have to accept a short price, even in a 20-horse field. And as we've seen in many other derbies, horses sometimes get bottled up, stuck behind horses, or forced to lose a lot of ground by going around 9 or 10 other horses. That might work against journalism.
And when you look at journalism and that price, are you with the consensus? Dan, do you think journalism is the most likely horse to win this race this week?
I think he's the most likely winner. I think when you're looking at horse racing or any sort of betting proposition, you have to make your own odds line. You have to decide what is the right price. Is 3-1 the morning line price fair in a 20-horse field for journalism? Some folks may say yes. Some folks may say no. I think it's a fair price on journalism if you like him, but he is far from the only talented horse in this race. I think he is the horse to beat. I want to use him in any kind of trifectas or exactas, but I won't be surprised if someone takes him down and we can even get a bigger price with him on the back end of exactas, trifectas, and superfectas.
Well, you mentioned that he's hardly the only horse that can win this race, and you look at the next two horses that have the next shortest odds, and that would be number 4, Rodriguez, who you mentioned at once there, and also number 17, Sandman, at 5-1. Either of those horses pique your interest? Are you going to be pairing them with journalism in exactas, superfectas, whatever it may be, or are you looking farther down the board here?
I like both of those horses a lot, to be honest with you. I think the Rodriguez might be the most intriguing horse in the race. He's the other horse in the field with 2 triple-digit speed figures, so he obviously has talent. Now, he has lost to journalism. He has lost to Citizen Bull, who's also in this race. Last year's 2-year-old champion is flying under the radar for trainer Bob Baffert. Rodriguez is also trained by Baffert, and I think Baffert took the path of least resistance to get into the Derby by shipping this horse to New York for the Wood Memorial. The story with Rodriguez going into the Wood Memorial is this is just a very headstrong, nutty horse. He needs to wear earplugs in the paddock because he gets very excited. Well, what's going to happen in front of 100,000 people at Churchill Downs when they're screaming? The good news is Rodriguez seemed very relaxed in a very crowded paddock in New York for the Wood Memorial, relaxed nicely on the lead and sprinted on home. Is his running style actually going to work against him at Churchill Downs? There are other horses with the same running style that like to go to the lead. I'm not sure Rodriguez is faster than those horses. I won't take anything less than 12-1 on Rodriguez, but I would use him. Sandman is a similar case, another horse that's very, very inexperienced. When he made the lead last time out, he started wandering around like he didn't know what to do. He didn't have the killer instinct to finish it off, yet he still was able to win the race. With his come-from-behind style, he's going to get the right setup in here. I'm really interested to see if Sandman continues his progression in this race. And I also want to talk about another horse, the number 18, Sovereignty. This horse is 5-1 on the morning line. His speed figures pale in comparison to some of the others, but don't be fooled. This horse is for real. He's going to run at the end of this race. I loved his last prep, the Florida Derby. He did not go to the bottom of the well.
Dan, when you look at races prior and leading up to this race, how much weight do you put into those races? Because you mentioned a couple of them already leading into the Kentucky Derby. What kind of results are you looking for? Not even if it's just to win races leading up to this, but anything else that you look for when you want to bet on a horse in the Kentucky Derby?
I want to see a horse that finishes off his final prep race with interest, a horse that is not tired at the end, a horse that might not be feeling the effects of a hard Kentucky Derby prep season. Remember, they have to earn points in order to get into the Kentucky Derby starting gate. So these horses have run 2, 3, 4 times, and maybe just the grind takes its toll. So watch for a horse that finishes very well at the end of his most recent start. We talked about Citizen Bull very briefly. He breaks from the inside post. No Kentucky Derby winner since 1986 has won from the rail, but I wonder if maybe that's just taking it a little too far, because Citizen Bull was last year's champion 2-year-old. He had a lot of talent. And Bob Baffert brought him back to the races for his first start this year in a very easy spot, and he beat Rodriguez with no problems. And then Baffert did something interesting. He gave Citizen Bull a couple of months off after that race to run the Santa Anita Derby. I don't think Citizen Bull was at his best in the Santa Anita Derby. He already had enough points to get into the Kentucky Derby. I think Baffert used that race as simply a prep. Maybe Citizen Bull at 20-1 on the morning line can pull off a little bit of a shocker despite the inside post position.
Dan, let's talk about the number 7 horse, Luxor Cafe. People always want to bet Japanese horses. They always get a lot of interest and a lot of bets. Tell us a little bit about number 7, Luxor Cafe.
both of the Japanese horses, the 6 Admire Daytona, the 7 Luxor Cafe, they seem like really talented runners. I think Luxor Cafe is the better of the two. I just don't think they match up to the horse that finished a close third in last year's Kentucky Derby. Forever Young was a world-class international horse coming in. You just had that feeling. And while Luxor Cafe has done nothing wrong, I mean, he's won his last 4 starts, I just wonder about the quality of competition he was facing over there in Japan. I thought his last race was okay. He did lose ground all the way around the track, but that was a field he was supposed to beat, and he did. He really is going to get an acid test in a race where the pace is going to be much faster than what he's used to in Japan. I think there's a chance the Luxor Cafe just is outrun in the early portion of this race and might have too much to do in the stretch.
I want to ask you about one last horse that a lot of people have brought up and I think have interest. Number 14, Tiztastic, has been a name that we've heard as maybe a long shot or maybe somebody that could show. What do you think of number 14, Tiztastic?
Well, I think Tiztastic's a little bit dressed up, and in horse racing terms, I think his last race looks better on paper than it really was. It was the Louisiana Derby, and it was a race that featured an electric pace up front. The front runners just burned themselves out on the lead, and it set things up perfectly for Tiztastic, who rallied from next to last to win. It was a race that just sort of came out of nowhere from him, so either he's peaking at the right time for an expert trainer and Hall of Famer Steve Asmussen, or he really benefited from that pace. Now, he's going to get a fast pace to attack in the Kentucky Derby, but I'm just not sure he's the best closer. I think journalism is, and I'm not sure Tiztastic can step with that horse in the stretch.
We're talking to Dan Ullman, Director of Communications for Maryland Jockey Club. You can follow Dan on Twitter at Dan_MJC, getting you ready for the Kentucky Derby. Dan, we've run through a lot of the horses. It's time to get to the bets. What are you thinking? We've talked a lot about journalism, heavy favorite, but let's just go with your outright winners first, and then we can get into some of the more exotic stuff. But are you just rolling with journalism here?
Well, I'm actually going to try to beat him on the win end. I'm looking for a little bit more value than the 3-1. And the two horses I want to try to beat him with are the number 4 Rodriguez and the number 18 Sovereignty. I just think that both of those horses are going into this race the right way. Sovereignty got a very good prep last time out in the Florida Derby. He, again, didn't have to really expend too much energy in that race. And I think there's just more in the tank. I think we'll see the best Sovereignty in the Derby, where maybe we've seen the best from some of these horses getting into the Derby. And Rodriguez, there's just something about this horse. He's talented. He's fast. I'm just concerned about the race shape. Demand value on both of these horses. I need at least 6-1 on Sovereignty. I need at least 12-1 on Rodriguez. In exotic wagers, I'm certainly using journalism. I'm using Sandman. And I want to throw in a long shot for everybody watching at home. The number 10, Grande, goes out for Todd Pletcher. If I like Rodriguez, I have to like Grande, who last time out ran second in the Wood Memorial in only his third lifetime start. While Rodriguez controlled the pace that day, Grande had to rally from way out of it, lost ground around both turns, and was still trying. This horse is very well bred to get the mile and a quarter, and he's another horse. I don't think we've seen his best yet. Use him in your exotics.
Absolutely love it. Let's talk about some of those exotics. Let's talk Superfecta, Exacta, and everything else that you may have. How are you trying to stack these horses? What are you looking at for some of those exotics?
Little pyramid on top. I'm probably going to use 80% of my bankroll or so with Rodriguez and Sovereignty on top. The remainder 20 will have journalism on top in case he is the freak that everyone expects him to be. In the second spot of maybe my trifectas, let's start with those. I'll use those three horses. I'll also use Sandman and Grande underneath. I'll use those horses as well underneath in my trifecta. And maybe I would throw a horse like Luxor Cafe to come sort of clunking up for fourth with Citizen Bull. They would only be used on the bottom halves of my exotic wagers like trifectas or superfectas in the third and fourth spot to try to get some value there. But mostly keying on top the three horses that we mentioned, Sovereignty, Rodriguez, and of course the favorite.
Dan, we know weather plays a factor. Are you monitoring anything as we get closer to the Derby here, as it inches closer and closer, hour by hour? Is there anything you're monitoring weather-wise or elsewise that may change some of your opinions here?
Well, it certainly looks like there could be a wet track on on Saturday, and that helps some horses in here. A horse like Cole Battle, who I think ran better than it looks last time out in the Arkansas Derby, chasing a fast pace. He is a perfect 2-for-2 on a wet track. A horse like American Promise, going out to the legendary trainer Wayne Lucas. He's won over a wet track. He is stepping up in class. You're really going to want to keep an eye on how the racetrack plays. Remember, the Kentucky Derby is race number 12. You'll have many chances to see if the racetrack is favoring a certain kind of runner. A lot of times when there are weather conditions, you'll see the inside may be playing better, the outside perhaps playing better. Horses on the lead just happen to carry their speed farther, or horses on the lead tire very badly. Look for that sort of bias and try to exploit that in a race like the Kentucky Derby. If you see speed horses, they're winning all day long, well, maybe you can take a chance with a horse like East Avenue in the Kentucky Derby, who might be the fastest early.
Dan Illman, appreciate your time as always. You are absolutely the best. We really appreciate you taking the time at Dan_MJC. Dan, really quick before we let you go, do you have any early thoughts for the Preakness? We mentioned off the top anything that you're monitoring for the Kentucky Derby or anything you've got circled for the Preakness. I know we're a little ways out, but any early thoughts?
We're a little ways out. I'm really interested in watching the trips in the Kentucky Derby. Oftentimes, the best horse doesn't win. A good horse wins. But you might see horses that get stuck in traffic in a 20-horse field, bottled up a little bit, and you wonder to yourself, what could have happened if that horse got clear at the right time? Would the outcome have been better? And the fans like to bet horses that win. So you might want to look at a horse that was a troubled second or third or even fourth in the Kentucky Derby. If they do come back in the Preakness, you might want to take their shot of them turning the tables on the Derby winner.
Dan Illman, Director of Communications for Maryland Jockey Club. Follow him on Twitter at Dan_MJC. Dan, you're the best. We really appreciate it. Enjoy the Derby.
Thanks so much for having me on. Best of luck.
Best of luck to you as well. That is Dan Illman. There he goes, getting you ready for the Derby. And I will definitely be putting a bunch of that stuff and wrote a lot of it down. It's going to be absolutely awesome. Cannot wait for the Derby. But now we get back into everything that you need to know for the playoffs. Playoff Peach here with Jake Hassan. And reminder, a promotion from our friends at BetMGM on the BetMGM network. Make a fast break for the action and join the rush this playoff season with BetMGM. You can get an NBA playoffs or Stanley Cup playoffs odds boost token and score a bigger payout on a winning bet. Brought to you by the Sportsbook Born in Vegas, BetMGM. Please, as always, gamble responsibly. Let's talk about the NBA. Let's start there. A couple more games tonight that we need to get into. Hopefully, well, I guess yesterday didn't go terrible, right? Warriors, Wolves, Warriors just, I'm glad the Warriors were the early game because we got that bad taste out of our mouth right away and the Wolves kind of made up for it at the end. But we go back to the hardwood. Now, two games tonight. Knicks, Pistons, Pistons -105. This game gets off at about 7:30 Eastern time. Total is at 212. Moneyline, Knicks, you're getting them with even money now. They lead the series 3-2. The Pistons are getting bet. Everybody on Twitter, everybody hashtag in the space is talking about the Pistons and how they're so fun and how they haven't won a series in forever and how the Knicks are soft. And I said the Knicks are soft. We asked Chase Kitty yesterday if the Knicks are soft. The Knicks might be soft. Listen, everybody, just the Knicks might be soft, but I do think you get a really good Jalen Brunson game tonight. He's heard all the criticism. Everybody's saying that he's just a free throw merchant, can't pull it through, spends all his time on the floor looking for fouls. I think he should go over his point total today. I think you get just the absolute dagger game here. The Knicks don't want to give the Pistons life. Even though it is in Detroit, and that place is going to be absolutely electric, I'm sure. Give me the Knicks. They can't afford to let this go to Game 7, and if it does go to Game 7, then I'll change my opinion and I'll be on the Pistons. But I don't think it gets there. I'll wait till the last second. I'll let everybody bet the Pistons today, and then I'll bet the Knicks right before tip-off. I think that the Knicks should be able to get things done today, and I'll have interest as well on Brunson to go over his points. The late game, another big spread game. Nuggets, Clippers in LA, -6.5. The Clippers, your favorites. 212.5 is the total in this one as well. Nuggets lead the series, and I don't know if they win. LA, the Clippers have a really good home court advantage. Everybody's talking about it, and maybe Kawhi just goes into Terminator mode. But 6.5 seems like a lot, especially if Jamal Murray is going to be awake and play like he did, even if he's 80% of what he was in the last game when he scored 40 and dragged the Nuggets to that win. And then, of course, you have Jokic, you know, the best player in the world as well. Getting more than two possessions with both of those guys and with this Nuggets team, I'll take it. I won't take the Nuggets on the money line. I'm a coward, but I'll take the points, especially I'm a coward because I said yesterday I'm not going to be a coward and take the Warriors on the money line. That went really well. So I will just take the points with the Nuggets today. 6.5. I think if they don't win, this is definitely a close game. And then we go to a game 7, and that'll be really, really fun for all of us. And then we'll bet that one as well. And we'll go from there. Speaking of the Warriors and how the Rockets just take care of business and force that next game with them, Rockets win 130-1 to 116. And honestly, that final score makes it seem a little closer than it probably was. Now, they still trail 3-2 in the series. Rockets are still plus 350 in the series. And now you have to go back to Golden State. I do think that the Warriors should win this series. People are starting to rumors and ruminate that, oh, well, Steph's more injured than he let on. Maybe they just took the foot off the gas. I still think they should be fine for the series price. I still think that they should be able to take care of the Rockets. This is still a very young, inexperienced Rockets team. At the end of the day, this is still Jimmy Butler. This is still Steph Curry. This is still Steve Kerr. I'm not that worried, if at all, about the Warriors, especially going back home. So I'll be betting the Warriors again in game 6. And I think that they close it out there. A series that's already closed out. Wolves beat the Lakers, as we mentioned, 103-96. They win the series in 5. They wait to play the winner of that Warriors Rocket series. And Sean put in the rundown here. Can the T-Wolves win the West? Honestly, I don't see how you think they can't. They have the juice, brother. Anthony Edwards is awesome. The Adidas is tweeting out Kingslayer out here. I got tagged a bunch in that as a huge Game of Thrones fan, even though that show ended, 7 years ago now? Oh, well, who cares? It's still really funny. And Anthony Edwards is in the tunnel afterwards saying, Superman, Batman, I'm Ant-Man. Like, this guy is just one of those dudes. He's just a baller, man. And I'm absolutely going to bet on him. And I think whoever wins the series, and I do think it'll be the Warriors, I think they're shaking in their boots about the Wolves. They definitely wanted to see the Lakers. Are you kidding me? The Wolves have way more depth. Julius Randle, I saw a tweet that he put the absolute clamps on LeBron when he was the primary defender on LeBron. Then you bring in the Gobert factor, the Ant factor that we've talked about at length too. And the Wolves made it to the Western Conference Finals last year too. So everybody's talking about the Thunder and how they're just this machine that's going to steamroll everybody. I think the Wolves kind of have that chip on their shoulder. If they remember getting ousted by Luka and the Mavs last year in the Western Conference Finals, I think the Wolves can absolutely win the West. And I'm definitely going to bet them to win the series against probably the Warriors, but whether it's the Warriors or the Rockets, don't care. I'll be on the Wolves for sure in that one. And we'll see how it shakes out if they end up playing the Thunder, which they most likely will. But even if it's the Thunder, the Wolves have the juice, baby. I'll be betting them in that one for sure. Let's talk some hockey. Let's talk about the Ice and 4 games in this one tonight that we need to talk about. And shout out the Florida Panthers. Talked about that yesterday, that just thought that they were going to rip the Lightning's heart out. And honestly, the way that the Panthers won that game was mean, man. They just toyed with the Lightning. They allowed them to think that they were going to be in it. It was back and forth, goals back and forth. A lot in that game, and then it's tied 3-3, and then just bang, 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 bang. Panthers just put you to bed, and it's just over, and they just stomp your heart out. So that, listen, we bet the Panthers. It was a little dicey there early, and nobody tell the crew at You Better You Bet this, because they like the Lightning a lot, and I went the other way, but it was pretty awesome for me. And the group chat, the You Better You Bet group chat was very active last night, and I just didn't say a word, and I will continue not to, because I don't want to be degraded and verbally abused for going the other way from the rest of the show. But you could catch You Better You Bet at 3 p.m. Eastern. Enough about that. About the games tonight, Leafs and Senators, totals 5.5. Senators, your favorite, and I think people are expecting the collapse from the Maple Leafs. Are they going to do it again? Are they going to have a series lead and just completely blow it? I don't think they will. I'm going to be on the Leafs tonight. I think that they shake it off. I think that they get the monkey off their back. I think they win tonight and that they advance. They're just too good. And I know we've said that for years, but I think everyone's wanting to bet the Senators because they want to bet against the Leafs. They're, same old story. Everything that we always see. I'm going to go with the Leafs. I'm going to go with the more talented team in this one. Knights versus Wild in Minnesota. Wild home dogs +140. Totals at 5.5. I'm just good on this. I think it's just right. I think the Knights win. I think they advance and oust the Wild, even though it is on the road. Stars versus Avs. Avs -180 at home. They need to win to push a game 7 and keep their series alive. And I'll be on the Stars. I'll take them in this one. I just think that the Avs, this isn't the team that we've grown accustomed to seeing. I think the Stars, the way that they've won just these drag it out games in overtime, I'll take them in this one. No real opinion on Kings Oilers. Think that one is just right as well. But that does it for the first half of the Hassan Hour. That does it for Send It In. Thank you to Dan Illman for coming on the Maryland Jockey Club and giving us a ton of great information to get us ready for the Kentucky Derby. We covered the NBA. Go Wolves going forward in the next round. Go Nuggets tonight, and go Knicks. Going to wait till the last second and bet them on the money line as well. And go Leafs. Hockey. Got to just please don't blow it, because if it goes to Game 7, I'll be on the Senators. But that's it. Thank you for joining Send It In. Stick around for the next 15 seconds, because on the other side, it's Bet Slips and Bat Flips with, me, Jake Hassan, and we're going to talk baseball. So stick around, because we're about to hit the open in just a couple seconds, and then keep this train rolling.
Jake Hassan.
And what we do is better. Once everybody else likes something, you hate it. And that's exactly what happened with me.
We'll be betting K's and debating your plays.
No sweat. Have a fun time. Good luck out there. Do your best.
Play ball.
Hey, welcome back. It's Bet Slips and Bat Flips on the BetMGM Network. Did you miss me? I missed you. That was only about 30 seconds, but it gave me an opportunity to drink some water and be a real human and take a breath and scratch my nose, which really, really itches so bad right now. But listen, pressure makes diamonds. God gives his toughest battles to his strongest soldiers, as they always say. So if anyone wants to thank me for my service, you can do that in the Bettors box, which you can get to on Twitch or on YouTube or on Twitter at the BetMGM Network across all of those platforms. Or you could go to my Twitter at @Jake_Hassan, where I tweeted the show as well. And you can give us your bets, your comments, your thoughts and prayers for me as I struggle through my nose that still, yes, itches very badly, even though we're about 30 seconds in at this point. And that's the last time I bring it up, I will promise, as Sean scratches his nose in the queue right there and just really shoves it in my face. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate that. But this is Bet Slips and Bat Flips. Welcome in. Thank you to the crew at Send It In for preceding us. Oh, wait, that was me and Sean anyway. We continue to roll on. So I guess, you know, we'll sprain our shoulders here and pat ourselves on the back. But if you missed the live show, wherever you get your podcasts, Send It In, Bet Slips and Bat Flips. We would very much appreciate your 5-star reviews and your 5-star ratings. And at some point, if you leave a review, we will read those reviews and we will get to them. I don't know when. Maybe it'll just be an eternal bit, but we will get to it at some point. But we talked about some games that had already started at the beginning of Send It In with Jake Hassan during the Hassan Hour. And those games are going right now, and we are sweating some stuff. We are sweating right now as Shane Baz has a man on third and the bottom of the second, top of the second, excuse me. And we bet Royals to go scoreless through the first three. Now, there's one out, and it's 2-2. So we might lose this bet right away. And that would really stink, because it was a plus money banger. At least that's what I thought. But we'll see how that goes. And he strikes out Mark Canha. So we just need one more out, and then we are on to the third, and we just need one more scoreless frame, and we win our bet. Elsewhere in baseball right now, we have the Cubs and the Pirates. Happy Paul Skenes Day to all of those who observe. He is leading the game, and the Pirates are leading the game 2-0 against the Cubs right now in that one. Like I said, I didn't have a bet in that game just because I didn't really want to go against Skenes. It didn't make a ton of sense to me, so I stayed away from that one. Unstoppable Force and Skeens, Unstoppable Force in the Cubs lineup against two movable objects and each other's respective bullpens. But Skeens, he is your Cy Young favorite. If he stumbles at some point here, could give some hashtag better chances, better value to some of our guys down the board. And one of our guys we will talk to, I would love to talk to him. That'd be awesome. Talk about and touch him all because he made his return yesterday. The Cardinals are losing to the Reds 2-1, which sucks because I bet the Cardinals, but we'll monitor that one as well. And the Diamondbacks and the Mets are scoreless. We are sweating Mets team total over 4.5. And that one, Minnesota and Cleveland, also scoreless. We are waiting for, we're not waiting for, we're hoping for, I guess waiting for, let's manifest, right? Kyle Manzardo had hit a home run is our bet in that one. But for now, we get to the one game that I absolutely love today. Small card, absolutely minuscule card, which is why we need you guys in the bettors box today to ask some questions and ask some bets. So whatever you got, doesn't even have to be betting related, but whatever you got, we'll take it in the bettors box because there are not that many games that we have to talk about. But the one game that I do absolutely love today. Hello, Jose Berríos. And honestly, Tanner Houck, who's been terrible as well, too. Lucy Birch, cover your ears. I'm sorry. But Tanner Houck, a 7.58 ERA. Jose Berríos, a guy that I like to fade as well. And a couple of guys in the Red Sox lineup have good history against Berríos. Jaron Duran, really good history against him. Rafael Devers, a home run against him as well. So we are going to go the first five over 4.5 in Red Sox and Blue Jays. Two terrible pitchers, two pitchers who give up a lot of home runs and a lot of fly balls. That is the one game that I absolutely love today in that one. Red Sox, Blue Jays, first five over 4.5. But let's touch them all. Let's get in some news. Let's get in some updates. Let's get into some things that you missed from the last 24 hours. And we're going to start with the White Sox again because, A, it's funny that we keep starting with this really, really bad team. And also, Sean made sure to text me this morning. Hey, you know, we're talking about the news. Just so you know, Miguel Vargas, 7-game hit streak. And I said, put it at the top. That's our top leading story that we need to lead with. And I was mostly joking, and he did it anyway. So we're going to lead with Miguel Vargas anyway. He changed his batting stance for the White Sox. Before he changed his stance, was batting 139, 11 for 89, a 438 OPS, absolutely atrocious. Since he's changed his stance, 12 for 26, hitting 462, an 1100 OPS with a double, a home run, three RBI. Miguel Vargas to get a hit today is minus 120. All right, Sean, you might have minus 120. That we might have to add that to the card. That's, you know, not often that you get to get a hit at minus 120. That's a pretty good price. I might also look at the two plus total bases, over 1.5 total bases at a good plus money price as well. So that's your White Sox update for the day. You scratched that itch for everybody. Miguel Vargas playing very well. In the news of actual baseball players and actual baseball teams, although I guess I'm not sure that the Angels are a real baseball team at this point either, to be honest. Mike Trout left the game yesterday with knee soreness. He hit a ground ball in the infield and started running, as you do, to first base. After that, started jogging out to right field to take the field after the inning ended against the Mariners. And he said the knee just started to feel weird as he was jogging out to right field and then was replaced when his next turn in the lineup by Joe Adell. Ron Washington said after the game it was just precautionary because that's the knee that Trout had a surgery on at the end of last year, which forced him to miss time. And Trout said he got treatment, got some ice, got some electrotherapy on it, and he expects to play today. We will keep track of that and see if he is indeed in the lineup for the Angels. But a little bit of betting application for this, for Trout. He hasn't been having a very good year as it is. And he's your favorite for AL Comeback Player of the Year. And I was texting with Ken Barkley about this, formerly of You Better You Bet fame. And everybody in Comeback Player of the Year in the AL kind of just stinks. Spencer Torkelson's up there, but he always stunk. So what is he coming back from? And he's still like only hitting 220. And Jacob DeGrom is awesome, but I expect him to get hurt at some point because it's Jacob DeGrom. And so everybody in the AL portion of this kind of isn't very... They don't inspire a lot of confidence, and especially Trout, who if he misses time, then maybe he's not going to be great either. So as far as AL Comeback Player of the Year goes, I kind of like Javi Baez at 11-1 after he hit 184 all of last year. Tigers were talking about DFAing him and releasing him this year. He's come back. He's hitting 296, had a grand slam for the Tigers yesterday against the Astros. I think Javi Baez is a little bit interesting, but as far as the Angels and Trout go, I think he's vulnerable in the AL comeback player of the year market. The Angels still terrible and not a team that I generally want to play on. So that is Trout, a guy that already came back from injury yesterday. Tony Gonsolin earns the win in his first appearance for the Dodgers, his first start for the Dodgers since August of 2023. Comes back and throws six innings, allows three earned runs, strikes out nine, no walks, and a 12-7 win for the Dodgers over the Marlins. And this is huge for the Dodgers. We've talked about all week that the Dodgers rotation is just ravaged by injuries. Blake Snell on the injured list, Tyler Glasnow on the injured list. They're missing Clayton Kershaw, still hasn't thrown a pitch for the big league club so far yet this year. We'll get into that in a second here. But Gonsolin, if this is what he's going to be, I mean, that's huge as the third starter behind Yoshinobu Yamamoto and Roki Sasaki, and Dustin May also in that mix as your fourth starter. Very, very huge for the Dodgers, for your World Series favorite. Some reinforcements much needed for them. And Tony Gonsolin, 25-1 for NL Comeback Player of the Year. Just something to keep in mind, I think. Now, the concern there is that once Kershaw and Glasnow and Snell come back, who gets bumped to the bullpen out of Gonsolin or Dustin May? That remains to be seen. But I think that Gonsolin could be an interesting flyer for NL Comeback Player of the Year. We'll get more into that either next week or tomorrow. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. Something to monitor, though. Very big news for the Dodgers. Also in the news for the Dodgers, speaking of their starting pitching rotation, Clayton Kershaw threw five innings in a rehab start yesterday, his longest rehab start so far. He had only thrown three up to that point. He looks like he's on track, and pitching coach Mike Pryor talked about this as well with the Dodgers, that once Kershaw is eligible to be activated off the 60-day injured list at the end of May, it looks like he's going to be activated as soon as he's eligible. More reinforcements for the Dodgers. Not sure what you'll get out of Kershaw at this point in his career. Maybe they make him a reliever, but they have a million relievers as it is. And he said his shoulder feels fine. This is just the toe injury now that they're managing, and it's on his driving foot, his back foot for Kershaw. So whatever he gets back is gravy, and the Dodgers still very much needing reinforcements, but that's a positive update for them as far as their rotation goes. The Yankees and the Orioles moving back east here. Benches cleared in the fourth inning last night of their game. Heston Kerstad made a steal on second. Yankee second baseman Pablo Reyes went up to try and get the ball. It was a high throw from Austin Wells. Kind of landed, not on Kerstad, and you see it this way, you should be watching the show live, because you could see as we're playing the video, we're playing the tweet with the video of Kerstad kind of jawing at Reyes, saying, hey man, just watch where you land. I kind of think Kerstad was in the wrong here. Like, the guy's going up to make sure the ball doesn't get airmailed into center field that Kerstad maybe comes around to score on. The bench is clear. The bullpen's clear. It was a whole nothing. No punches were thrown or anything. And Brandon Hyde said after the fact, yeah, this was just a big nothing. And I think Kerstad knew that he was in the wrong after the fact in the locker room, saying, yeah, you know, it was kind of just a mix up. You know, we just kind of got tangled. It is what it is. So I think he knew he was kind of in the wrong. Heated moment happens. These two teams, especially with Kerstad involved, there was a scuffle with them last year as well at the end of the year. So, you know, division rivals, these two teams don't really love each other that much. No punches thrown. So, you know, boo. But we'll see what happens. They play again today. So we'll see what happens the next time they meet. But as far as things that did actually happen on the field, I asked you to manifest yesterday. I asked you to manifest good thoughts and to think good things in your brains for Christopher Sanchez and his return to the mound for the Phillies against the Nationals. And we got through it. Five innings, allowed two runs, struck out six, which was encouraging, walked three. So, you know, it wasn't, you know, the control wasn't all the way there for Christopher Sanchez, but coming off an elbow injury scare, kind of to be expected from Sanchez. I was very optimistic going into this, and I felt very good coming off of this start from Christopher Sanchez. At the end of the show yesterday, I said, just manifest in your mind, five innings, one or two runs allowed, and a couple of strikeouts. And we got exactly that. We got exactly what we were asking for. And the biggest thing here is that Sanchez was consistently sitting at 95, 96 miles an hour on his sinker, which is his primary pitch. And That's in line with his season averages for the year prior to when he exited his last start with that elbow strain. So really, really good sign for Christopher Sanchez. Really, really positive news coming out of that one. Really looking forward to his next start. 16-1 to win National League Cy Young. I do think that there is a little bit of value on that because he was under 10-1 going into the start that he left with that elbow soreness. Is it a little worrisome? Yes, elbow injuries are always worrisome. But I felt very good and I felt very bolstered in my opinion of Christopher Sanchez that his velocity was sticking it around what the season averages were. The strikeouts were there. So now shook off the rust, missed a start. Now the walks, I think, will go back away and we should be fine. So I was very encouraged. That's the word I've been looking for the last 5 minutes. Encouraged, bolstered. That was so weird. Anyway, I was feeling very encouraged by Christopher Sanchez's start. I do think there's some hashtag value on 16-1 for him to win NL Cy Young. I am still riding hard with Christopher Sanchez in that market. We've been talking about him for months. But we now go to you, the people in the bettors box with your bets, your opinions, your questions, which I do hope that there are a lot of today because, like I said, minuscule card here today as Paul Skenes gives up a solo home run to Dansby Swanson to make it 2-1 Pirates and that one. And we are going to the bottom of the third, by the way, for our Shane Baz ticket for the Royals to go scoreless through the first three. So we monitor that as well. Hopefully we catch a winner here in the next 15 minutes before the show goes off the air. But step up into the bettors box, get in with your bets, your questions, anything that you may have here today that you want to talk about for the show. And I'm counting on your futures a lot today because, again, small card, like four games, and one of those is the White Sox. So sorry, Sean. But we go now to the bettors box. And if you are not listening live and you can't get into the bettors box, go find us wherever you get your podcast, Bet Slips and Bat Flips. We appreciate your 5-star reviews and we appreciate your 5-star ratings. And we will on Send It In as well, which, hey, was hosted by me today and yesterday and will be tomorrow and all throughout next week. Hassan Hour for 10 days. How about that? Well, I guess not really 10 days because of the weekend, but for 8 shows, let's call it that. But we go to the bettors box. We go to your questions now. Lucas Sports Inc. Jake, big follower, love awards markets. How can we bet Luke Weaver? He is having a surreal statistical season. Can we take a flyer at reliever at 80-1? Lucas Sports, appreciate the DM. This was in my Instagram DMs. And much like T-Pain, I don't check my Instagram DM requests a lot. So this one's on me. This DM was a little old, but Luke Weaver still 11-1 to win American League reliever of the year. And I do still think that that is too big of a number on a guy who's on a team that's going to win their division. He's now in the closer's role because Devin Williams was removed from that role, quote from Aaron Boone, for the time being. But Williams was awful as the closer for the Yankees. And maybe he's just not built to be a closer. Maybe Devin Williams is just meant to be an eighth inning guy. And we saw in last year with the Brewers that he gave up these leads in the ninth inning. And he has been awesome as a setup man for years. Maybe that's just what he's destined to be. And maybe Luke Weaver is just destined to be the Yankees closer. He was awesome at it last year. So I do think that Luke Weaver, with all of these awesome stats, and now he's going to start racking up saves. I think at 11-1, Luke Weaver is very, very interesting for reliever of the year. I do think that that is worth a bet. We're riding with Jeff Hoffman, and maybe it doesn't matter. Mason Miller's minus 120 in this market. He has a negative FIP. That's insane. He's breaking StatCast. So maybe Mason Miller just wins. We'll monitor at the trade deadline. Maybe the A's trade him, but probably won't because they're about 500 right now and the AL West is an absolute crapshoot. So they're very live to win the AL West still. And we'll talk about that in a little bit here at the back end of the show. But as far as Luke Weaver goes, yeah, I think he could totally win American League rookie, or not rookie of the year, reliever of the year. Another word that starts with R and it does with awards. Nathan Hall, 28. I want to get your opinion on Cole Reagans. I know you're a big fan of his. I am. Wondering if now is a good buy point on him for Cy Young, in your opinion, or would you wait on more of an update about his groin injury, to be clear? It's really the only interest I have in Cole Reagans' groin, to be clear. Best I'm seeing is 20-1. I have a bit on him, but would like to buy more, trying to get an idea if there will be a better moment to buy on him than right now. So I don't think there's going to be a better moment to buy on him right now. Cole Reagans for his career has been generally healthy, and a groin injury isn't a elbow injury or a shoulder injury. It's generally something that I think we all think is going to go away. The Royals seem to think that he's going to get over this injury pretty quickly. We'll only miss one turn in the rotation as Kyle Tucker hits a home run to tie the game against Paul Skeens and the Pirates. Paul Skeens exits this game. Man, we should probably bet the Cubs right now, to be honest, actually. Anyway, back to your comments. Cole Reagans, I do think a 20-1, if you could still find that out there, is a good bet. I still really like him to win AL Cy Young. I think he's going to be a contender. Like I said, I think you have the bucket. You have Scooble, Crochet, and Hunter Brown there. Definitely in the bucket right now. And then you have the second tier of guys. And I think Cole Reagans leads that second tier of guys that could jump into that first tier of contenders. So I really like Cole Reagans still. I think he's a absolute contender for AL Cy Young once he makes his return. Austin Green, appreciate you also from the Instagram. Over under 1.5 combined starts for Snell and Glasnow the rest of the season. Quote, my life is in pain. I'll take the over. And maybe they'll both come from Snell in this one. Honestly, Glasnow always very hurt, always due for a couple of stints on the injured list. But I still think over 1.5 is really low. If you don't get over 1.5 starts from those two guys for the rest of the year, then I think you'll be okay. Also, my life is pain. You're a Dodgers fan. They're the World Series favorite. I think you'll be okay here. They're minus 500 to win the division. I don't feel that bad for you, Austin. I'm sorry. Colby Marcio, I have 12 plays today. Do you need a hand? Yeah, Colby, I saw you tweet that you had 10 plays. Good to know that you didn't stop firing, and now you ended up going to 12. Very good to hear. Colby Marcio, a very good follow on Twitter, absolutely fires as Paul Skeens gives up another home run to cough up the lead to the Cubs. It is now 3-2, Chicago. Woof. Not great. I guess we should have bet the Cubs there, but maybe some of you got in on that. Say a Suzuki leaves the yard. Paul Skeens, vulnerable for NL Cy Young. Just saying that Christopher Sanchez price about to go down. But Colby, I do not need a hand. Thank you. I appreciate it. But I do love you and I do appreciate you. And you are very handsome. As the Rays get an out at third base, it is one out in the top of the third with one out. We are absolutely sweating this Royals to not score through the first three innings now. One out in the third, Shane Baz on the mound there. Steven Robinson, thoughts on Thoughts on Jesus Luzardo, NL Cy Young, 33-1. And what do you make of Sanchez after his outing last night? If I had to pick one of these guys, it would be Christopher Sanchez. He's the guy that I'm riding with. Jesus Luzardo has been awesome to start the year. Don't get me wrong. But throughout his career, Jesus Luzardo does this where he gets off to these hot streaks. We get a lot of, we start to believe in him and then he falls apart. He has issues with fly balls. And I think as it starts to get warmer in Philadelphia, he's going to run into problems with home runs. So Jesus Luzardo, yeah, 33-1. It's an enticing price. I think Sanchez is the better bet there as far as NL Cy Young goes, but I could be wrong. I could look like an idiot. It happens a lot. B Mills, sorry, very late. Any thoughts on Kodai Senga Cy Young at 30-1 or better? I actually was looking at this yesterday. I think this is an insane price. Now, the problem is, and the worry with Senga is that he doesn't stay healthy. He was injured all of last year with a shoulder injury and a calf injury. And so that's the scare, right? But if he stays healthy and he pitches right now, he's going against the Diamondbacks, that if he's healthy, he's one of the best starters in the league, has wicked strikeout stuff. So I think Senga at 30-1, definitely if you have nothing in this market, and I'm good. I have Michael King, Logan Webb, Christopher Sanchez. Those are the guys that I'm going to ride with for the year. But if you have nothing in this market, I don't think Senga is a bad look at a long price as well, especially because we're seeing right now the favorite Paul Skeens, very vulnerable as he just gave up three home runs and then one inning to cough up the lead. So, yeah, I think B Mills, if you're looking to jump in on something and jump in the pool here, Senga, I think you could do way worse if 30-1 is out there. Really, really like that one. So thank you to you guys, the viewers, the listeners. Appreciate it. And we cash. Woo! Thank you, Shane Baz. It was a little bit of a sweat. We had to get a replay tagged out at third there, but we made it. Royals to not score a run through the first three cashes for us at a plus price. Gotta love it. Little sweaty, but as I was saying, thank you to everyone in the Bettors Box. Appreciate your DMs. Appreciate your replies. Appreciate you guys jumping in and participating in the show. It truly, truly makes the show much better when you jump in live on Twitch, on YouTube, on Twitter, at the BetMGM Network, across all of those platforms, or wherever you get your podcasts if you can't catch the live show. But you should, because we have a lot of fun here, and we talk about a lot of betting stuff, and it really, really rocks. And I love this little community. You guys are the best. Anyway, talking about the bets, speaking of which, we get into that right now, and we talk about the card, the small card that it is. I don't have 12 bets like one Colby Marcio, but I do have a handful of bets, and we do start with the starter spotlight today, and I'm going to go against Sean's White Sox. Sorry. My starter spotlight today is going to be Chad Patrick of the Brewers going against the White Sox, and I'm going to take his over 4.5 strikeouts in this one. I think people are going to want to bet his under after Freddie Peralta and Tobias Myers were unable to go over their props in the last couple of days against the White Sox, but Chad Patrick's been really good for the Brewers, and he has been allowed to go deep into these games, go into the sixth, get into that 90 pitch mix. So going against the White Sox, now everybody's going to zig. I'm going to zag and go with Chad Patrick over 4.5 strikeouts. He's shown good strikeout stuff. His head starts with 6-7 so far this year. So plus money to the over, 4.5. That's the starter spotlight. Chad Patrick of the Brewers going against the White Sox. Oh, region rat Chad Patrick, as Sean says, faced him in high school. How about that for some Shawnee Sharp lore for that one? But we move on, going through the rest of the card. The 7-minute stretch starts right now with the last couple of games here as we go into it. And we start with Athletics and Rangers. Jeffrey Springs versus Tyler Malley in this one. I was a silly goose yesterday. I tried to get cute. I just went with a Wyatt Langford home run and over 1.5 total bases, neither of which cashed, by the way. He went 0 for 5. Thanks, Wyatt. Really appreciate that. And the thing is, I was a silly goose because I wanted to bet the A's on the money line because they were plus 170 with Severino on the mound. But I got scared because I'm a coward. I'm not going to make that mistake again. The Rangers lineup is completely out of whack without Corey Seager, outside of, you know, the 15-run outburst that they had on Wednesday night. But I will take the A's on the money line again here. I'm going to go back to Old Faithful. I will fade the Rangers in this one. I'll go with the A's on the money line and fade that Texas lineup without Corey Seager and fading Marcus Semien, who has been terrible as well. Nationals and Phillies in Philadelphia. Taijuan Walker against Brad Lord. Phillies minus 185. Totals at 10 in this one. The total tells you what I think we're all expecting. We're waiting for the Taijuan Walker explosion game where he regresses completely from this 2.78 ERA. But I'm not going to bet the Nationals because Brad Lord has been so far since he made the transition from rotation from the bullpen. So I will go Dylan Cruz over 1.5 total bases in this one, starting to figure it out, starting to find his swing. Your NL Rookie of the Year contender is your second favorite, hitting .294 with 4 home runs, a double and a triple in his last 13 games spanning the last 2 weeks. So give me Dylan Cruz over 1.5 total bases in this one. Red Sox and Blue Jays. We talked about this game. I like the first 5 over 4.5 in this one. I'm fading Tanner Houck, who has been serving up home runs, giving up a ton of hard contact, and I'm fading Jose Berríos as well. A couple guys in the Red Sox lineup have good history against him, and Jose Berríos is a real Jekyll and Hyde act. He pitched really, really well at Yankee Stadium against the Yankees, where they famously play in Yankee Stadium, you know, pitched really well against them. So I think you come back the other way in another division game here with this one. Give me the over 4.5 in the first 5 with the Red Sox and the Blue Jays. Tigers and Astros in Houston. Casey Mize versus Yusei Kikuchi. That is definitely not it. It is Tigers and Angels in that one. Casey Mize versus Yusei Kikuchi. That's on me. Reading is very, very hard. I like the Tigers side of this. Tigers are minus 120 road favorites. Mize has been good this year, breaking out. 2.12 ERA, showing why he was the number one overall pick just a few years ago out of Auburn. And the Tigers have been good against left-handed pitching so far this year. Yusei Kikuchi 0-4 this year, a 4.31 ERA. So I'll take the Tigers on the money line. And my Jakey Rakes home run play of the day is going to come from this game as well. But we will get to that in just a little bit when we go through the card. Rockies and Giants to close it out here. Last game of the night. Everyone walk with me here. I kind of want to play the Rockies on the money line at almost 2-1. I'm going to think about it. I'm going to stew on it. But Verlander has been so, so terrible. So maybe it's just the over here, and maybe that's just the play. But Verlander's been awful. And I kind of think the Rockies could maybe win two games in a row here. Just something I'm thinking about. It makes me absolutely sick to my stomach to think about. But I do think that there's a little bit of something there. So for the card, for today, I like Chad Patrick over 4.5 Ks against the White Sox. That's plus money. I like the A's on the money line going against the Rangers. Going to go back to Old Reliable. I think they win the series against Texas. Tyler Mahle on the mound for Texas doesn't scare me. I think he's due for some serious regression. I like Dylan Cruz over 1.5 total bases, fading Taijuan Walker. I like the Boston and Toronto first five over 4.5. And the Jakey Rakes, just for funsies, home run play of the day. Give me Spencer Torkelson. Absolutely torches left-handed pitching in his career, and especially so this year as well. And he has good history against Yusei Kikuchi, 2-for-2 with a home run when he faces Kikuchi. And then a bonus college baseball bet. We have an absolute banger of a series that starts tonight down in Arkansas. Number one, Texas goes to Arkansas, number five, and Texas is dogs. Give me Texas on the money line in this one. Zach Root for Arkansas has had a rough go of it lately. He has not been very good. So I will go with Texas. I think they entrench themselves as the number one. I like them for the series as well. Give me Texas plus money on the money line here to win as road dogs. That does it for the Hassan Hour today. I have been Jake Hassan. Thank you to Shawnee Sharp behind the scenes, helping me look and sound better than I actually am. We will be back tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern time, for Send It In for another Hassan Hour. We will see you there on the BetMGM Network. Shawnee, hit the music.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.